Hello and welcome. My name is Zach Weaver, and I'm the senior pastor at Liberty Vineyard Church. I'm so glad you tuned in to the sermon today. I hope that it blesses, encourages, and challenges you as you begin to explore the abundant life God has for you. If you're in the area, consider joining us for our weekly services, Sunday mornings at 10:30. We have lunch together, free of charge, each week following our service. Everyone is welcome. We're located in the city of Tucker, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. Directions and other information are available on our website at libertyvineyardchurch.com.
I am excited to be with y'all today and just want to welcome you to Sunday, welcome you to Liberty Vineyard. Why don't we start off just with a word of prayer and just welcome God into this time as well. Lord, you have said wherever two or more are gathered in your name, you are among us. And God, we certainly feel and notice and experience your presence. We thank you for our time of announcing what you're doing, of getting to worship you, of getting to pray for one another, to see how you're working in our lives and in the world at large. And God, we just want to receive what you have for us this morning. So I pray that our hearts, our minds, our lives would be open to you. Lord, may we just be open books, ready to hear what you are doing in our lives. So we give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right. We are going to pick up a little bit of where we left off last week. If you remember last week, we looked at three groups of people historically. We were looking at the Israelites as they were in Exodus from Egypt. And all of the challenges that they encountered along the way there. And we looked at the Israelites as well as a remnant post-exile after they come back to Jerusalem. So we start off with the Israelites on their way to Jerusalem. Through years and years of problems, they are exiled and they come back. And then we looked at the apostles in Jerusalem just after the time of Christ, just after at the time of being sent out now among the nations. Each group had a reason to, and often did, get stuck. And what we talked about last week was the challenge that they faced and that we face today and that we will continue to face it oftentimes in our life, is learning to wait and to be thankful while remaining hopeful for change and ready to move forward so that when God says go, we're ready to go. But here's the thing. You see, when you begin to move forward in what God has called you, when you begin to take those steps, it's almost immediate. As soon as you start on the path, you hear the clear word from God. You know that you've waited for the amount of time he's called you to wait. You know that it's ready because everything is pointing to now it's time, go. And when you begin to move forward, you will, not may, not could, not might, you will encounter resistance. Now, here's the thing. It's not always in the way that you might expect it to be. You see, there are actually two different kinds of resistance. Now, with my almost zero, if there's possible to have negative knowledge in something, I think that might be the level of knowledge I have of electrical engineering or I know a little bit about electronics, but if there's like a negative curve for engineering, that's where I fall. I'm in the opposite of knowing. I think what I know is more guessing, and that's like the horoscope of engineering. But I do know this term, and I kind of understand how it works. There are two kinds of resistance in engineering. There's positive resistance and there's negative resistance. Okay? Negative resistance produces power. positive resistance consumes power. All right, let's talk about that a little bit. Negative resistance is when something is working against. Right? A negative resistance in our lives would be something working against you. And if you resist, if you push back against that, it actually produces power. It's beneficial. It grows. Think of it kind of the way like a windmill or a water mill might work, right? The wind is blowing unresisted until it encounters the windmill, and the windmill is sitting there stationary, ready to receive. And when it receives and when the wind hits it, it resists the wind, and that resistance begins to spin the turbines. And as it spins it, what does it do? It produces power. Why? Because it stands up with resistance. And the other side is the positive resistance. Positive resistance is resistance that's actually there for your benefit. Positive resistance you might think of as something that's like a barrier or something like that that's actually there to protect you. If you push against that, you might get hurt. It might break you. So let's see if I can help illustrate these two things in our lives a little bit better. Positive resistance versus negative resistance. Let's start with the negative resistance. Negative resistance, I looked really hard around my house for anything like this and I couldn't find it. You might remember there's a thing called a resistance band in workout. You notice I'm here in my grand workout room. Ta-da! It's not very big. This is our workout. We have these things, this treadmill and this elliptical thing. And you might remember they developed these things a long time ago. They're basically giant rubber bands. And they're called resistance bands. And you would hold onto them and then try to stretch them apart or lift up from the floor. Christy was talking about her mom doing the shoulder exercise. And I remember after I had my rotator cuff surgery, that's exactly the thing they gave me to use. And the idea with one of those bands, the same thing could be true for a weight. You know, if you've got a weight that you're using for weightlifting or something like that, you can tell this is the level of weightlifting I'm comfortable with. This is the right amount for me. If you take a weight and you actually resist that, the gravity of this wants to pull it down, right? The gravity of those bands, as you stretch them, what do they want to do? Pull you back down. But if you resist them, if you go against gravity, if you push up against it, if you pull against that, what do? You actually build strength. You actually begin to develop muscle. You begin to develop endurance. The more that you resist, the more that you push against these things, the more that you actually are strengthened, so that the next time what you find is you graduate from weights like this to bigger weights and more and more. And if you have one of those home gyms, you keep moving that little pin further and further down. Why? Because your endurance and your strength grows. So what can you handle? More and more resistance. And the other end is the positive resistance. I have one of my son's toys here. He likes these toys, and I used them when I was a kid as well. This is what's called a transformer. Okay? You can tell it's supposed to be a helicopter. Now, here's the thing about transformers. You are supposed to move each part, twist it, just a certain way. The problem is, a lot of times they don't go quite the way you want them to go. And if you just force them and push just enough, you end up breaking it. We have a lot of broken transformers. I remember when I was a kid, I had one of my favorite transformer toys, and my aunt said, "Oh, I can do that. Let me see it." And I tell you, I kid you not, the first thing she did with it was break it in half. She went, "It just twists like this," and it was two pieces. You see, these things are meant to work when you get all the things just in the right spot. When you put everything arranged just so, positioned just right, it moves smoothly. Force it, broken. You see, positive resistance is like that. Positive resistance consumes, takes your power, and snap, breaks stuff. It's kind of things like a barrier. If you're up at a place and there's a fence around it, that fence is there to protect you, to tell you don't go that way. And if you refuse to, if you ignore it and just decide I'm going that way anyway, I don't care. It's either going to hurt you or it's going to hurt the thing that it's resisting, that's resisting. You're going to hurt it. How we respond to resistance largely has a lot to do with recognizing its source. There are actually two sources of resistance that I see in life and in Scripture. It's a little surprising, but one of them I think is not going to be so surprising, that it's the enemy. It's Satan, the devil. Right? We know that there is an enemy out there who is actively working to make sure of one thing, that you are not successful. That's his job. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make sure that you fail at the things that God's calling you to do. That's his role. Right? He's really, really in there for the long haul. He's been working at this for a long time, and he's very clever, and he's very crafty, and he knows just how to get in there. He does not, I repeat, does not want you to make an impact in this life, especially not for God. He does not want you to move forward in the path that God is calling you. The other source of resistance, that's a little bit different. The other source of resistance I see in the Bible a lot, and I see in my life a lot, is God. You see, the enemy is that source of negative resistance. God is the source of the positive resistance. It was funny, we were doing, I love the way that God kind of knits things together sometimes in our lives. And I did a Bible study with my kids this week while the women do their Bible study. I do Bible study with our kids. And so we were doing a Bible study on, I think it was called Not Grumbling. I think that was the name of the Bible study. Doesn't matter. The first lesson was about hurdles. You know, hurdles like you jump in track. And it talked about how when we encounter a hurdle, we're supposed to jump over the hurdle. A lot of times, instead, what we notice that happens in life is we hit the hurdle and we get mad at the hurdle and we say, why are you in my way, hurdle? Get out of my way. I don't want you here anymore. You're blocking the way that I'm supposed to go. And we push and we fight against it and we might even kick it. We might hurt our toe. And I asked my kids afterwards, I said, can you think of any examples in the Bible where there were people that fought against some of the hurdles? And it was really funny listening to some of their, not funny, encouraging, I guess, listening to some of their responses. They told me about things like the Israelites standing at the Red Sea. They told me things about where Israel with, or Moses with Pharaoh. And they told me things about Adam and Eve and Cain with Abel. And I'm going to get into a little more detail with those in a minute. But see, the way we respond to resistance has a lot to do with recognizing the source of the resistance. There's a passage in the book of Acts. I'm going to turn there real quick. It's in chapter 5 that it talks about this exactly. It's, again, the apostles. There's a familiar story here in chapter 5 that they are brought in before the high council. And they're arrested and the teachers are all there and they're just enraged at the people. And it says in verse 34 that a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, and he was held in high honor among the people. He said, men of Israel, take care what you do with these men. And then he goes through a list of some people that had uprisings before this. He said, you remember when this guy Thutis, rose up, claimed to be somebody, and people joined him, but he was killed and they dispersed and it came to nothing. Another guy came up and he had some followers and he was killed and it came to nothing. And he says in verse 38, so in the present case, I tell you, just keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is just of man, it'll fail. But if it's of God, you won't be able to stop it. In fact, you might be finding yourself opposing God, resisting God. How we respond to resistance has a lot to do with recognizing the source of the resistance. But at the end of the day, there are really only two ways to respond to resistance. One is submission or acceptance. Something's pushing against you and you go, okay, I give. The other is that you respond to resistance with resistance by pushing back. And there's a different effect depending on the type of resistance that you're responding to. If you're responding to negative resistance, this would be resistance from the enemy. This is resistance that's trying to actively work against you. Remember, negative resistance produces power because it's actually trying to work against you. It's trying to fight against what's happening. If you submit to negative resistance, if you submit to that and just accept it and just go, fine, I give up, you will constantly feel defeated in your life. You will constantly feel like you can't do good enough. You can't be enough. You won't be able to grow the way that God wants you to grow. You won't be able to get that staying power that God wants for us to move forward in our life. And what happens is just like if you are working out and you just decide to stop working out for a long time. You know, I mean, if I take this weight here and it wants to push back and to go, whatever, I give up. Am I going to grow my muscles? No, don't look at me and go, oh yeah, that's exactly what you do. That is what I do. But I'm just saying, if a normal person, no, you're not going to grow your muscles. You're not going to get stronger. And in fact, the opposite happens. You begin to atrophy. You begin to get to the point where they can't move at all. On the other hand, if you resist the negative resistance, if you resist, I know that's a little bit overkill in the word, but if you resist that resistance, if you push back against this, if you fight the opposite of what it's wanting to do in your life, then you overcome. And like I was saying earlier, you get stronger and stronger. And guess what happens? If you keep doing it over and over again, if you keep resisting over and over, every time you build a little bit more strength. You build a little bit more endurance. And you're able to sustain just a little bit more of that resistance, of that pressure. You're able to withstand a little bit more of that. Right? You see the people, though, that are like the professional bodybuilders. They didn't get that way overnight. You see these people that are missionaries in these other countries that endure unbelievable hardship, unbelievable attacks from the enemy and resistance. You say, how in the world can somebody do that? They didn't do it overnight. They've developed a life of learning to follow God and push back. Every time the enemy tries to get in their way, they push back. And you do it enough, and guess what? Those muscles grow. God is really interested in us developing our spiritual muscles, in us developing our spiritual endurance. In fact, in 1 Peter, verse 6 through 11, I'm just going to turn there and read it to you real quick. Peter says, you know, we have an enemy, an active enemy. And it says he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he wants to devour. So humble yourselves under the hand of the mighty God, so at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Resist the enemy, and he'll flee. Stay firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by all of your brothers all over the world. And after you have endured, suffered, resisted for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. Isn't that a great word? Isn't that great news? Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 24. He said, I have to tell you that these things are going to come. And pay attention so that nobody leads you astray. It says, many are going to come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and they're going to lead people astray. You will hear of wars. You'll hear of rumors of wars. But don't get alarmed, because these things have to take place. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and earthquakes in various places, and all of things are just the beginning of the birth pains. They will deliver you to tribulation, put you to death. You'll be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. False prophets will arrive and they'll lead many astray. Lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who endures. Does God say, don't worry, once you follow me, it's easy going? It's not what I ever saw. It's certainly not what I've experienced in my own life. I wish I could say it was. I wish I could promise you it was. But all I can promise you is the opposite. That there's going to be resistance. That there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And there's going to be challenges again and again in our life. But if we resist. I mean, you might likely be experiencing resistance in your life right now. Don't give up. Don't give in. Jesus says, in this world, you are going to have trouble, but don't worry, because I have overcome the world, and in me, you'll have peace. When we look back at some of these stories and we see how negative resistance yielded positive results in people's lives historically in the Bible, we can look at that remnant in Israel. Do you remember when they went back to build the temple? And when they went back to build the wall? Do you remember all of the conniving that the nations around them did? They sent false reports. They tried to get them stopped. They came and attacked. There's even a point where it says that they were building the wall while they're carrying a sword. They carry a sword in one hand and lay bricks with the other. That's how we're supposed to do it. They didn't stop doing what God called them to do because they came up against resistance. They just figured out a way to keep fighting and keep going at the same time. The apostles in Jerusalem, they just do it over and over and over and over again. I mean, it starts at the very beginning of the story. We've looked at it several times. In chapter 4, they're hauled in front of the council, right? They get hauled in front of the council again and get told, do not speak about this Jesus. So what do? Do they go, okay, not going to speak about Jesus anymore? No, they resist, and they go and speak about him any more boldly. And in chapter 5, it happens again. I just read you that part. They get hauled in front of the council again. We told you not to speak in front of or to speak of Jesus. We go to chapter 8. After the stoning of Stephen, it says, there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And then in chapter 9, we see maybe my favorite story of resistance. There's the person that's been the resistor, Saul, that's been the one who's been causing the pushback against the church, is resisted by God. And we're going to talk about that kind of resistance in a second. Resisted by God, and his himself now subject to the same kind of persecution, the same kind of resistance that the disciples had been experiencing, and the rest of the book of Acts, and all of the epistles that Paul writes, all speak about the resistance that he encounters from the enemy and the pushback that he gives against it. What do you think develops as he does it again and again and again and again? He said, I've found how to be thankful in all things. I can do all of these things, the worst things in the world that have happened to me. I can do them. Why? Because he's strong? Absolutely not. Because of Jesus' strength in him. You see, what happens when we respond to positive resistance? What happens when we respond to the resistance that God places in our lives? If we respond by pushing back or resisting God, we might find ourselves that same position Gamaliel was talking about. Remember, God puts resistance, he puts barriers, he puts roadblocks, puts those hurdles in our lives. For a couple of reasons. One of them, and very common, is to protect us. Because he knows this is not safe. You may think it's okay to go this way, but I know better. And it's not. Or it may not be the right time. But the second thing that happens is he puts these things up to challenge us, and by challenging us, growing us, so that we learn more and more to rely on him and less to rely on our own strength and our own intuition. It's an opportunity then for God to demonstrate his power. Like I was talking about earlier, the kids were sharing on that Bible study about one of them, I don't remember which one, said about Israel crossing the Red Sea. Do you remember just before they get into that position, God specifically tells them to turn around and camp in front of the Red Sea? Specifically tells them to go and camp there. And as they do that, here come the Egyptians right up against them. I mean, rock in a hard place. And here they are stuck. Who put them in the stuck place? God. Why would God do that? Because he wanted to demonstrate his power. And the only way he can fully demonstrate his power in our lives is if he puts us in positions where we can't, in our own strength, overcome it. And when we have to position ourselves in such a way that we have to completely fall on God and say, God, help us. That positive resistance consumes our power and increases his power. See, that's what positive resistance does. It consumes us. When we submit to God's barriers and resistance, we, our worldly selves, our own strength, all of that is consumed. Our power diminishes, but his power, it increases. It increases in our lives. And what we see are huge, tremendous moves of the Holy Spirit. Listen to a few of these. As the disciples and as other people resist or submit, sorry, wrong one, submit to God's resistance in their lives. It starts, that's the way the book of Acts begins. Do you remember what Jesus says? Wait in Jerusalem until I tell you. So they have to wait. They have to be patient, right? But what happens? The Holy Spirit comes with power and authority. Could the disciples have left Jerusalem? Were they physically being held down? No. Could they have left? Probably. Do you think they could have gone out and talked about Jesus? Yeah, I bet. Do you think they'd have been even a tenth as effective as when the Holy... You realize what happened when the Holy Spirit came on that household? When it transformed them? They didn't have to go out and tell and beat people over the head. People came to them. What's going on? What's all of this? It wasn't for their safety that they remained in Jerusalem. It was for God's a perfect timing, just like this transformer, right? You got to get all those pieces just in the right place. And then everything just clicks. Everything works so easily. In chapter 9, I was telling you about how the resister, Paul, Saul, becomes resisted by God's holy power. And God's power comes on him, and it just mightily begins to demonstrate how it flows through him. In chapter 10, there's a really interesting story about Peter. God actually pushes back against Peter's beliefs a little bit, shows him all of these foods that are unclean and says, go ahead, Peter, eat. And Peter says, no way, Lord. No, no, no. And he says, if I tell you to eat, don't tell me it's unclean. And because Peter doesn't resist his prejudice in that, he doesn't resist that, he actually allows God to change his heart and change his mind. What happens? The Holy Spirit comes on the whole Gentile world because of that moment. Because he was willing to let God push back against him and to say, okay, Lord, I yield. Do you see what I mean? It consumes his power. And God's power increases in such a mighty way that it flows throughout the whole world. In chapter 16, in the book of Acts, the disciples, the apostles, are going through the region, it says, of Phrygia and Galatia. And this is in verse 6, and it says, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. In verse 7, it says, when they came up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to. So they went on down to Mysia, and they passed by, and they went down to Troas, and sees a vision in Macedonia, and it leads to this whole other opportunity for them to lead. By the way, I find this a really interesting just side note, anecdote. If you want to turn in your Bibles or just kind of make a little note about it, if you turn to 1 Peter again, but you just look at the very first verse, I want you to notice we don't often look at the addressees of the scriptures. It says, Peter, an apostle of Christ, to those who are elect exiles and dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Wait a minute. Back in Acts 16, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. You see, God's resistance, God's no, God's wait is not always a permanent. Sometimes it's just a not yet. Wait. Not now. Just a little while. Were they forbidden forever from speaking in Asia? No, the timing wasn't right. Why? I don't know. What needed to happen? What needed to occur? Why did the disciples need to remain in Jerusalem? Because the Holy Spirit was doing something. And he was waiting for just the right time. And when the timing was right, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son into the world. And you know, that keeps happening. When the right time comes, the Holy Spirit moves. And when he moves, things transform. Things just click into place. Things just happen. We can force it over and over and over again, and we might just break something trying. But if we'll wait until God says, now go ahead, you won't be able to stop it. It's going. You see, when we submit and accept God's barriers, when we're willing to submit to his resistance, we actually end up growing in him, right? We begin to experience things like obedience and restraint, and we build up self-control, and we build up discipline, and these spiritual muscles begin to develop more and more in our lives, and they develop up to the way that we are able to stand against the negative resistance of the enemy and submit to the positive resistance of God. And the combination of those two things, it's unstoppable in the kingdom. Because the building up that negative resistance to the enemy makes you grow. You get stronger where you can handle more and more of it. And submitting to God's resistance means that we start to die a little bit to ourselves each time. And he grows more and more. It's just like what John the Baptist said. You know, we decrease so that he increases. That's what we're doing. Building spiritual muscles. Building spiritual muscles. To become stronger in him and more able to resist the enemy. The stronger we are in God, the more resistance we have to the wiles of the devil. Right? So let me just recap all of that for you. There are two kinds of resistance that we encounter in our lives. Negative resistance, positive resistance. Negative resistance produces power. Positive resistance consumes power, and there are two sources of that resistance. Satan, the source of negative, and God, the source of positive resistance. And there are two responses to the resistance in our lives. To each of them, we can either choose to submit and accept, which in the case of negative resistance is going to weaken us. But in the case of positive resistance, actually strengthens us, or we can push against it, growing our physical, or growing our spiritual muscles, growing stronger and stronger in Christ. I don't know where you are in your life, having maybe experienced these kind of resistances. I don't know what is happening in your life right now, but I can guarantee that at some point along the way, you will encounter them. One or the other, oftentimes both. When we encounter them, it's our challenge to figure out, what is God doing here? How do I move forward? Do I wait? Do I push? And there's only one person that can tell us. And it's the Holy Spirit. The more connected we are to God's word, the more connected we are in prayer, the more connected we are with just being willing to see and listen to what's happening around us, the more we'll be able to respond clearly to what God's calling us to do. So I just want to pray for you all. I want to pray for us in this time, for our church, for the church at large. And then we're going to close. I'm going to turn it over to Nancy and let Nancy lead us in our communion time together. So Father God, I pray for those that are connected here live with us today, but also for those listening online later, and just for the church at large. God, there is so much opportunity to encounter resistance these days. There are so many challenges happening in our world. And I pray that you would give us wisdom to know how to respond to these places. I pray that you would give us the spiritual muscle that we need to stand up to the attempts of the enemy to sidetrack us, to sabotage us, to lie to us, to get us to stop doing our task, to stop building that wall, to stop building the temple. I pray that you would strengthen us, God. Give us wisdom, Lord, and let us to be submissive to what you're doing, so that when you are telling us to wait or you're telling us to go, that we would respond. Give us the strength to do that as well, Lord. It is sometimes harder to wait than it is to go. So, Lord, we pray for you to increase in our lives, for us to just receive your word, to receive your spirit, to reduce our own dependence on ourselves and our strength and our complete dependence, Lord, to just grow on you and in what you're doing. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just come mightily now. Blow winds of heaven, blow Holy Spirit through our lives. Just help us to encounter you and to encounter one another. May you just transform us, transform our world. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We give you glory, honor, and praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray.